Arizona Wax, May 20th, 2001. I'm talking with Peyton Mayer, tape one.
Bridgewater, less than a year later, I moved to Quincy.
Why did you leave Ireland?
I left Ireland for personal reasons. I had a rough time in life, and I came here to get a new change, which was great at work for me. So
did you play music when you were a child?
Yes.
And did you come from a musical family?
Yep. I started playing when I was six, and all of my brothers play. And my father played the harmonica, and he also played the old melodeon. So that's where the music ended up came from. But it was my eldest brother who really influenced me as far as music is concerned. And he used to bring me, I was taught in the town I was brought up in, I was taught there by an old fiddle player. And then after 1 year, I was sent to the School of Music. So every week I got both sides of it. I was taught classically, and then I was taught.
What town did you grow up in?
I grew up in a little place in County Dublin.
Yeah.
In a little town called Glastuhl. Nobody's ever heard of it.
How do you spell it?
Glasthule.
How big a town is it?
So small. If you went through too fast, you wouldn't even know you were going through.
Don't blink.
No. But we were very much, we weren't city people at all. You know, we were from way outside the city.
So there's a lot of music.
My eldest brother played accordion and keyboards. The next guy played drums. And the next brother played accordion, keyboards, saxophone, and clarinet. And my younger brother played guitar. And I played, well, that's the list of them all. But now I strictly
play
fiddle and mandolin now.
Yeah.
But back then I played trumpet, double bass. I also, when the band took a break, I was the drummer. My other brother took a break, and then I played bagpipes for a while, but I haven't played any of those instruments since I was in my teens. So it's strictly fiddle, mandolin, and tenor banjo. So like that.
Do you sing? And you sing as well?
Yeah, I like to sing.
So tell me what the getting. What kind of, what would you play? What tunes would you play? How would you? Did you learn these tunes in your family?
Well, most of the tunes I learned were either through my eldest brother, Jerry, or else, as far as the Irish music is concerned, he used to bring me down to the local Kilpas, which is now the head branch of Kilpas in Monkstown. Back then it was in a town called Black Rock, and one of the teachers there was a very famous fiddle player called Joe Liddy. And Joe Liddy, even as a small kid, I got on very well with Joe. He used to help me a lot. He would take me to one side, and he would, if I was struggling with a tune, he'd help me. But at that time, I was also involved in a Cayley band, and in that Cayley band were some famous players today, such as Brain Dead. But
yeah.
I think of them in a few minutes.
Yeah,
but they have, some of them have gone on to become. Most of the Irish tunes were either through my brother or through the Kilpas branch at the time. Kilpas was pretty new back then.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
Do you read music?
Yeah, almost everything I did was through music. I very seldom would pick up a tune by ear. I didn't do that until I was in my teens when, you know, there would be a crowd of us together and everybody was too, you know, I don't know the word, but I'm not going to take up my music. So, you know, you learn from the guy beside you or the girl next to you.
Yeah.
So that's
that. Embarrassed to take
it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Now I tell them all, bring your music. Take it out. Don't be afraid to bring your music. It's the way to go.
What would be some of the common tunes that you would play?
Well, would be reels. That was the big tune. But the Mason's Apron, that was the big tune. Everybody had to know the Mason's Apron. But then there were plenty of others. Peter Street, tune called The Dawn. There's so many. It's hard to actually name them. But see, when I got into, say, my late teens, I developed a different love for Irish music, and that is, there are so many different aspects to Irish music. See, too many people just strictly play reels and jigs and leave it at that. However, there's Carolyn's music, which is just beautiful. It's played all over the world. People sometimes don't even realize that they're playing an Irish composer's music. Then there are waltzes written by quite a few people. I just wrote a waltz last year, and I just played it for the first time in Ireland this year. And there's a thing called slip jigs. It's a 9/8 time beat, and that's just a beautiful tempo. Set dances, and you know, then you've got polkas, slides. There's so many different. So when I play, I try to vary so that it would nearly take a half an hour before I would get back to playing another reel, because I like to play all the different things in between.
Could you take a fiddle and,
yep,
and give you a sample?
No problem. Older type jig, where there aren't so many variations, and so you play it faster and they don't into each other. Thank you. there, then it just varies into whatever it is someone's looking for.
How many tunes do you think you know? I mean, how wide do you think your repertoire is?
I don't know.
Yeah. What would be a typical?
Definitely hundreds, but I mean, I don't know if it even goes further than that. Just
when do you usually start when you're with your students? How do you introduce them to music?
Well, first of all, I insist that they learn to read music. I won't teach them unless they're prepared to learn to read music. Then
you don't want them to play by ear?
Yes, but they should first learn the music. That way they've got both things going. If they learn by ear in the beginning, then they miss out on the music end of it. And in fact, the funny part is that down the road they may discard music, but at least I've given them the chance of having it. And they all start the same way. The first 2 weeks are spent strictly learning how to hold the fiddle, hold the bow, and strictly run the bow across the strings. They don't even put their fingers on the fiddle. And then it's from there then they move on. But I don't have a set pattern, because everybody's different. And so I try to mold it around so that some people are faster to learn, some are slower.
Is it all age, students of all ages?
The youngest I have is 7,
yeah.
And the oldest I have is 66.
66?
Yep. A man from Duxbury. Yeah. And in between that, then I have 60, and then there's about 3 in their 50s.
And the nurse?
There's a lot of the girls around her age. She's late 20s. From late 20s to mid 30s, that's where most of the.
What would you think the attraction is?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I teach heard me play somewhere and asked me, do I teach? I don't advertise, and I don't, you know, so everything comes from either word of mouth or else from performing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
See, I play at weddings sometimes, and, you know, in a church, and I do the likes of Carolyn's Concerto, the one we just did, and that sometimes then that will attract someone to the music, and that's where a lot of it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you play another sample?
So that was a jig in Carlin, and of course the big thing in fiddle playing is the reel. So this one is called The Humours of Tulla.
What's it called?
Humours of Tulla. Tulla's a part of Ireland, it's a town in Ireland. But it's the one that all the girls get the best kick out of the lake, so.
Thank you.
play in a group. But then, having said that, I also like to perform on my own. I really do.
Tell me a little bit about your performing. You've played at weddings.
Well,
and,
yeah.
Mostly private stuff?
Yeah, now
yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, over the years, I've played, I mean, I've played as far away as Hong Kong with a group in, when I played with a group in Ireland, and played all over most places in Europe at some stage. And of course, since I came here, I've played in Canada a few times, and as far down as Virginia, you know.
You played for the Irish Cultural Centre?
Well, believe it or not, I've been talking to the Cultural Centre lately about giving lessons there.
Yeah.
And they're very slow to act. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I've got to find somewhere shortly, because I'm going to have to move the lessons out of the house. So I'm in a bind at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm looking
Could
for somewhere.
Could you rent Beechwood? The Beechwood Community Centre? Because they give music lessons there.
I don't know now. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
I
can check that out. You know what I'm talking about, right up the street.
The
that big community centre with the playground.
Yeah.
They give guitar lessons there.
I didn't know
and
that.
And they give, I know they give guitar lessons because they see
yeah.
advertising their seniors and they're probably practice rooms.
I didn't even
I
know
would
that.
Definitely check it out.
No. Yeah, I actually know a lady who
maybe
works could, there.
Like rent a room or rent
yeah.
a practice room. There.
Yeah.
Oh. I would definitely check it out.
However, I'd need to late at night. I wonder will they be. See, the problem is I teach right up to 11 on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, but I've gone to programs there at night.
Oh, then maybe they do.
I'm
oh.
Checking them out.
Yeah. Because I need somewhere. I have a neighbor who's causing a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
of course. I was thinking
no.
when you told me you had
yeah.
all these people here last
yeah.
night.
Oh, everybody
world.
Else loves
yeah,
the
that
music.
Loves it.
It's just one neighbor, so
yeah.
it's time to.
Well, I would definitely check
yeah.
that out
I never
because it's so
that.
Close. You know, also there's another. Let me turn this off for a minute. So let's continue about the music.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done a lot of performing. Now you mostly play for weddings.
No, well.
When you say
well,
private performances, what does that mean?
Now I mostly play for private parties. You know, that's the big thing I do now. I'm outside, of course every Wednesday night I play down below, but that's for the people I teach so that, you know, when they get to a certain level, they've an outlet somewhere to play. And
how did that start?
It started because I used to play in bands for years when I came here. And then I came to the stage where I really wasn't too happy with what I was doing. And we were butchering a lot of the Irish music and I was getting upset about it. So I said, well, there's only one way for me to do it. I need to go out now and do it my way. So I started a session up in another place up here in Quincy, in a place called Malachy's. And we were there for quite a while actually. But then they never actually had a license to have music, and while we weren't mic'd up or anything, but someone gave them a bit of a hard time, so we crashed on that, and then we moved up the road to Paddy Barry's. And
how long have you been there?
We're 3 years there now.
Oh, so that place has been around for a while
then. He's about 3.5 years there. We started 6 months after.
So you play every Wednesday night?
Every Wednesday. The only Wednesday I miss is when I go to Ireland.
Is it the same students, or you bring in, who is in that?
Well, last Wednesday, the core of who goes down every Wednesday is myself, Timmy, there was a fiddle player on my right, and I taught him about 7 or 8 years ago, and he's just become an exceptional musician. Then there's Tim Fitzpatrick on guitar, then on my left, Chris Ahern. Then after that, and Julie Cadigan also is always there. Then after that, they roll in and out. You know, there could be another two or three. Next week could be a different two or three. So that, and then quite often we have some Bowron players come down. So, you know, it's
just free floating.
Yeah.
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 And the private parties is it, someone has a party and you're some strolling musician, or is it formal?
No, it's normally, it's mostly formal stuff.
Okay.
You know, I'll sit in a corner and just play away or something like that. Then we also do other stuff where three or four of us will play. play together. And sometimes my son and his partner, they play in the Boston area mostly. And if they say need to play for a function where there are Irish dancers, well then they need, that has to go. So I play mandolin with them until the Irish dancers, and then I play for them. So that's
tell me a little bit about your dancing.
Well, I danced from the time I was, I don't even know when, I think from probably when I could walk. And I performed in competitions until I was well into my 20s, which is very unusual, but I loved it, and I stayed at it. I danced all over Europe, along with playing the fiddle, but I was actually, we did quite well. I have some All-Ireland medals and some World medals for group dancing, not for individual. It was later in life, it was when I was in my late teens, early 20s, that's when I really enjoyed dancing mostly. And again, I danced all over the place.
How did you learn?
Yeah, my mum was a dancer, and so she sent us to a local Irish dancer in our town, and it was from there that it worked out. And everybody in the family danced, all my brothers and my sister, you know. So the truth of it all,
like,
is
like straight from a yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
But the
yeah.
family was
very talented.
But an amazing, see, Dublin is not known for its, well, it's getting more now, but when I grew up, everybody taught Irish music, that's, you learn that down the country. Or, well, our family was the unusual one. We, my parents were very much into history, and needless to say, we were all very politically minded. Different, we didn't all think the same way, but we were all very politically minded. And also then, the dancing.
Did they speak Gaelic at all?
Believe it or not, my parents never did, but they insisted that we did. Now I don't speak it now, but when we were children we did. And one of my brothers, in fact, all his children go to a school that only teaches true Irish, and they speak to each other in Irish. So it's nice to see. We were very lucky. Our parents were very good to us. We, you know, a lot to be thankful for. As far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Where's your father done?
My dad was just a handyman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I never had much money. Just whatever he had went into us. That's, you know. Mommy never worked. She did small little things here and there, but you know, there's enough time for mommy looking after us.
Was your mom involved with all this music too?
Oh, she would make us practice. You'd walk in the door from school, and the first thing was, you know, in practice, you know. But you know that only for them, you know, where we could be.
Is your mom still around?
No, neither mom and dad are both dead. Yeah. Mom died very young. She was only 64. And she died in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad died the first year after I came to the States.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but they were fantastic people, I think. As far as the music is concerned, like, they knew how to do it without pushing. They never pushed. It was there, and you wanted to do it. You know, they had a way of, I don't know, I'd love to know how they did it, but whatever way they did it, they had us all wrapped into it anyway, so, you know. But then my eldest brother, Jerry, he would be the one who would definitely, no doubt about it, he influenced me more than anyone. Very much so, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, like, I play for a lot of them. The big school here in Quincy would be a school called the Forbes School of Dancing, and they're four sisters, and they teach right here in Quincy.
Where did you teach at St. Joe's Church?
Yeah, John's.
St. John's?
Yep.
On near the Firestone Tire place?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're just real nice family. They're just a really, really nice bunch of people.
Oh, I'd like to get in touch with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
because
lovely people.
There were a bunch of local step dancers in the Christmas Day parade. And I went up to them.
Yeah.
You know, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
And I went up to them, I said, because they were holding this banner. And they were dressed, you know.
Were they in red?
They were wearing, yeah, they could have been. They were wearing, you know, step dancing costumes.
Yeah.
So I said, I went up to them and
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they said that they were like,
that's
I
them,
would like to
I'd
check that
almost
out.
Be certain that that's Joan Falls, yeah. Yeah. But, and then of course there are other teachers, but in the Quincy area,
yeah.
She's the
yeah.
big, she's the, apart from anything else, they're just really nice people. Some dance teachers I'm not too fond of because, yes, like when I teach fiddle, yes, I like them to do well, but I'd rather teach with love than teach with anger, you know, and there's one or two here in the, and I won't play for them, so.
Yeah. Let me turn the tape over.
Yeah.
So, when you play for them, do you play for them at performances, or do you
yeah.
play at rehearsal, or?
Yeah, well, the Forbes, they have a, every year they have a rehearsal, and I normally play for that for them. And then if they're dancing somewhere where they need a musician, as a rule they call me. Most of the times now they use CDs.
Yeah, what's the difference between music for step dancing and swing?
Tempo. For dancing, now the Irish dancing tempo is getting slower all the time. I think it's losing a bit of its luster because they're putting more into the steps. Probably the best thing that's happened, Irish, but by the way, music as well as dancing, because the music got a huge boost. Like everybody thinks that dancing did, so did the music. Irish music got a huge boost right after the dance. And a few small things that I was, for instance, when you do Irish dancing, I don't, there are little things that I don't like the new way of doing, but in general, I was delighted with it. For instance, this thing of holding your hand on your hip, that's a Scottish thing. That's not Irish. So I hate when they do it.
Yeah, usually you're
yes.
straight down
or
up
when
like
you're
this.
Holding someone.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be up unless you're holding on to a partner. Irish dance. But, you know, it's a new flavor. It's just,
yeah.
you know, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah that's
yeah.
all. It's and that's Scottish tradition. So you're moving away from your Irish tradition.
So you're moving, so you're changing
yeah.
the tradition.
Yeah.
You're blending your tradition.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean,
is
it's okay.
Is that Michael Flatley's fault?
Yeah, Mr. Flatley.
he's a
real
man. Character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Strange guy. Yeah. Now it's different to when I was younger. Now I get a lot of pleasure from watching people enjoy the music. And something I explain to everybody that I teach, and I tell them all the same thing, when you perform somewhere, if you even win one person over that whole room,
mm-hmm.
you're nice. sport is doing, because you can't hope to win everyone. Everyone is different. But if you even win one person, that your night sport is not just done, it's a good night sport. And the enjoyment now is because I arrange all the music now for them. So I'm doing all the arrangements, and it's nice sometimes for me not to play with them and to go out and listen and hear and stand back and say, well, I taught them. And the pleasure out of that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it must be similar to the pleasure that your parents got with you.
They must have.
All learned.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah,
like,
we all.
My parents must have felt
yeah,
this way.
We often talked about it, actually. Because we had a family band. When
what
we
was
were
the name of the band?
We just called ourselves the Marlboros, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were in our teens, we all played together and played at functions and, you know. Yeah.
Now, you sing also.
Yes, I
yeah.
like to sing.
So you sang, your family was a singing family then?
Yes,
yeah.
But I was the lead singer in the band when we were kids. So that's where the singing came from.
What was the most popular song?
Well, back then, you know, it was more, you know, the Furies type songs and Sweet 16, that type of thing. They were the thing, you know. Now, there's not any one thing I like to do now, but there are a few different songs that I really like to sing. For instance, there's a song called After All These Years, and it's, you know, it's about being together. And I really do like to sing that, because we've been through a lot since we came to the States, and we've come out okay out of it, you know.
When's
we came here with no money, with
yeah.
nothing, you know. We never knew where our next meal was coming from. At times, we weren't even sure if we had a place to live. And so, you know, when you come through all that, you really do appreciate life much
yeah.
better than if it's handed to you, you know.
Do you think it's easier here than it's living in Ireland?
Well, it is for me, but only because it's easier for me because
do you think there's more opportunity here?
Yes, there's more opportunity.
That's what
here.
I
mean. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, there definitely is. If I was living in Ireland, I don't think I would be playing quite so much music, because I would probably be working for my brother, who's an exceptionally clever man and has done very well for himself in life, a very wealthy person. But the chances are I would be working for him. Everybody else works for him, so why would I not, you know what I mean? And they all have a good life because of Jerry.
They live in Dublin?
Yeah. My sister lives in Cork. My younger brother lives up in Meath, and the other three live right in County Dublin.
What does he do?
He has, you know, the Home Depot here?
Yeah.
He is the equivalent of Home Depots all over Ireland. Yeah. He started from nothing, and he made it. And he, through bad times, he came. Now, of course, they have the best times in Ireland. He's just a very, very wealthy person.
Yeah. And Ireland's doing better economically,
fantastic.
Much better.
Yeah. In fact, he was just 30 years in business. I was just over. For a long weekend, he flew us over, and he had this huge ball, and it was a, you know, a black tie affair and all that, and had an orchestra. And in fact, I played the orchestra. I just
oh wow!
No, but
is that you?
Yeah.
In a tux?
Yeah. I wear a tux quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because
you're winning.
Yes,
so.
and I feel
yeah.
that if someone is going to pay me good money, they deserve that I should dress properly, you know.
Yeah.
But if I was back home, I probably wouldn't be playing as much music,
mm-hmm.
and that'd disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But the truth of it all is, I appreciate the United States for giving me the opportunity to do what I do with music now. But I don't know if I would have done this. Yeah,
strength and the not fortitude, but will and desire.
Yeah, the will and desire.
The will and desire.
Yeah.
You really can overcome a lot of stuff.
No,
I'm very grateful.
Yeah. This year now, like get one now, immediately after my son's wedding, because I've been speaking to a lot of the different people, and they're saying that's where a lot of the music is now. You know, the contact is on the computer and all this. And so my nephew, my brother's eldest son, he's a music professor in London, and he's also big into websites and all that stuff. This is his side.
You make a website for him.
He's actually doing it at the moment. He's going to send it over to me. So.
Yeah. And plus, you could email your students and.
Yeah,
you
all
know,
that type of thing.
And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just, you know, I email my students with email.
Really?
And when you're really busy,
yeah.
Let me ask you about the songs that you sing.
Yeah.
You know, are they mostly traditional Irish songs? They're not all popular songs, or somewhere
well,
in between?
They're in between. A lot of the time, most of the songs I sing have a meaning to them. For instance, there's a song called Dublin in My Tears, and I sing that all the time. And it's about leaving Dublin and going back and finding that it's just not the same town, and it's not the same town. And, you know, the words are just, sometimes it's, sometimes it's hard to sing it because
so
you're thinking of it, you know.
Cry.
No, you know, it's
yeah.
it's that, but it's really, it's, and then there are other songs, like there's a song that my dad used to sing all the time, and Down by the Glenside, and I like to sing that. So mostly what I sing is, it has a meaning. It's either it's to do with back home, or it's a song my father sang, or maybe my mother, my brothers, or, you know.
Are they unaccompanied?
No, mostly accompanied. What would you do on the compass though?
Well, you can
yeah.
get your mandolin or something.
And it's a 1916 song, and it's an exceptionally, it's a really nice song. 'Twas down by the Glenside I met an old woman plucking young nettles. She ne'er saw me coming. I listened a while to the song she was humming. Glory, oh, glory, oh, to the bold Fijian man. 'Tis 16 long years since I saw the moon beaming on brave, manly forms, or on eyes with hope gleaming. I see them all now, sure in all my daydreaming. Glory, oh, glory, oh, to the bold Fijian men. I passed on my way, God be praised that I met her, be life long or short, sure I'll never forget her. We may have brave men, but we'll never have braver. Glory, oh, glory, oh, to the bold Fijian men. Glory, oh, glory, oh, to the bold Fijian. Really old song. But, yeah, most songs that I sing have to do with something in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, and,
you sing a lot of political songs?
No, I don't, I don't like to sing them,
mm-hmm.
because I'm no longer politically minded.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the States now, and this is my home, so I don't feel that I have the right to voice my opinion about what's happening there, because I don't live there. I walked away from it. So
do you think that it's that Irish Americans romanticize what's going on and the conflict and the troubles? And
a lot do, yes.
And
I think a lot of Irish Americans do rap and write about it.
Yeah. And sort of, you know, give a lot of advice about it, but
I do. No. And that's why I don't even talk to my brothers much about it now.
Mm-hmm.
The odd time, a little,
mm-hmm.
but, and I would have been the most politically active
mm-hmm.
out of all my family, yet I feel I left it, I have no
it's
right.
Behind you.
It's not, you know,
you.
This is the country I live in now, and I really like to read about politics, and, you know, I like to know what's going on, and, you know.
Everybody wants to be aware
yeah.
of what's happening in the world.
Yeah, I like to vote,
mm-hmm.
and I like to know that who
you're
I'm voting for.
Citizen?
Yeah, we're citizens
mm-hmm.
now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And as a rule, the person I'd vote for would not be the person getting in, because I'm, because I'm always thinking of the underdog, you know.
Yeah.
I you know. Now, admittedly, 2 years ago, there was a guy ran here in Quincy, and he was with the Democratic Party, and I, you know, I did quite a lot for him, you know. I
mm-hmm.
organized music sessions so that he had fundraisers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a really nice guy, you know.
Who was it?
Greg Hanley is his name. Actually,
no?
the
no.
thank you thing was up there
no.
for the longest time. It's gone. I don't know where it is now. Yeah. But and Greg is a really nice guy. He's I'm more that way than I either like someone, and if I do, then I would help them, and I wouldn't care
right.
where what
yeah.
they were involved
yeah.
in. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't like them,
then
you don't give them
there's
time
not
to
a
pay.
Lot. Of, no, I would, but there's not a lot of sense in me playing music for a
right.
fella that I don't
yeah,
think he's
going to
do anything for us.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Of course. I'm trying to think of... Where do you think Irish music is headed?
Well, right now. It's tremendously strong. Where you seem to go. I mean, last year I was down in Virginia, and I played at a fair, and what I couldn't understand was that the Irish music was the big attraction. The amount of people that came over and spent time with me and just
wanted
me.
Not
Irish. There was
does that surprise you that there's such an interest in
that
Irish
did down there.
Music
yeah.
in places where there isn't a strong Irish population? Irish
well,
population.
Down there it did, because everything was bluegrass or Cajun,
yes.
and it was true bluegrass. I went there because I played at a bluegrass festival up in Maine, and this man came up to me and just said to me, you know, would you come down and play in Virginia? And I said, yeah, of course, you know, sure, I'll go anywhere. So we arranged, I went down, and the talking point of the day was the Irish music, and it just, all these bluegrass people all of a sudden switched, and it was amazing. I was totally taken back. I was very pleased with it.
Did you play bluegrass?
No, but...
different.
Yeah, two of the lads I play with, they play bluegrass, so I sit in with them, but I mean, I don't have the time. I have so much time wrapped up in music, yeah, I don't
so
have
your
time.
So your time is already up between performing and students and private functions?
Well, right now the biggest time is writing.
Tell me a little bit about your writing.
Well, I'm trying to compile a selection of tunes that would show my style of playing, because I do have a different style from most traditional players.
How is it different?
It has a classical background, and it also has a background that when I was growing up, I played trumpet and stand-up bass, and I sang in rock bands of that era, which is, you know, Tom Jones type thing. It's not like a rock band today, but I also played fiddle in that group. Now, this is when I would have been, you know, 14, 15, that kind of age. And that influence has come true to today. I can still hear it. And actually, people have approached me and said, you know, what is it that you're playing that's different, or can you explain it to me? And for years, I didn't know what it was. And it wasn't until I played guy who teaches music in New York, actually, and I was playing in Boston, and he came over to me and said, you know, can I talk to you? And we got talking. And he said, can I ask you, you know, you have an influence there, and I don't know what it is. And I said, well, I don't know, you know. You know the amount of times I've been asked this, and I still don't know what it is. And when we got talking, he actually said to me, well, did you play rock music at any time? And I said, I did when I was younger. He said, that's your influence. So, and he said, it was obvious, it's obvious you were taught classically, I can see that. He said, I can see the love you have for the music. He said, there's another influence in there, and he didn't know what it was. Now, it took us about 5 hours. We went to a party, actually, and we sat down. We spent the night just talking, you know.
Wow.
And he was the one that brought it to my mind, that that's where the influence was coming through.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. Bulwark, how you use your bulwark.
Okay.
And I'm inclined at times to do things with it that you wouldn't do with or with traditional music. I'm inclined to add something in or delete something, and that's the difference between just playing it in an ordinary traditional style and adding in, you know, a punch that's not normally there.
Yeah,
but
could you demonstrate?
No, see, that's hard to do. I didn't know about this for years, and
you just do it.
I was just playing music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but he was the one that actually sat down and figured it out. With me. Mm-hmm. A really nice man.
So when you teach your students, you sort of teach them in your style.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always ask them not to copy me. To develop your own style, because if I had just copied the teacher, I wouldn't play with the style I do today. So I went out, developed my own style, and that's what it's
like. Have you recorded?
Believe it or not, I start on Tuesday.
Oh.
We put the first three down on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So
who's recording you?
Over here in Quincy, his name is John Farrell, and his recording studio is in his home, and he's from Dublin, and we've played together, actually, and he knows exactly what I'm looking for. You see, I had to go to someone that knew me, because I was afraid that, say, an engineer or something would bring out something that I wasn't looking for. So he's going to do it, and four of the people I teach are going to be on.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, so they're all excited about it, you know.
That's really
Now I've recorded many CDs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the Noel Henry band, Noel Henry Show Band here in this area. Well, their latest CD, I did the backing fiddle on that with them. I've done a lot of that stuff, you know. But my own, I've tried many times and it's never worked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is, you're never happy with
yeah.
it. So, but this time I've made up my mind that whatever.